Molina insisted. We simply haven't found them yet. We've searched for weeks, lad. We'll have to search further, and more extensively. The tumbler of whiskey had never left McFerguson's hand. He took a deep draught from it, then finally put it down on the table. Shaking his head, he said firmly, Yamagata's putting pressure on the IAA, and frankly, I'm running out of excuses to send back to headquarters. Do you realize how much it costs to keep this ship here? And my committee? Molina looked obviously irritated. How much is the discovery of life on Mercury worth? Can you put a dollar figure on new knowledge? Is there life on Mercury? That's the question, isn't it? Some of my committee members think we're here on a fool's errand, McFerguson admitted. They're the fools, then, Molina snapped. Are they? Molina started to reply, but his wife put a hand on his arm. Just a feather-light touch, but it was enough to silence him. Wasn't it Sagan, she asked in a soft voice, who said that absence of proof is not proof of absence? McFerguson beamed at her. Yes, Sagan, and I agree. I truly do. I'm not your enemy, lad. I want you to succeed. Lara immediately understood what he had not said. You want Victor to succeed, but you have doubts. Worse than that, McFerguson said, his tone sinking. There's a consensus among my committee that your evidence, Dr. Molina, is not conclusive. It may not even be pertinent. Molina nearly dropped his glass. Not pertinent? What do you mean? Decidedly unhappy, McFerguson said, I've called a meeting for tomorrow morning at 10. I intend to review all the evidence that we've uncovered. We've gone over the evidence time and again. There's something new, McFerguson said. Something that's changed the entire situation here. What is it? Lara asked. I prefer to wait until the entire committee is assembled, said McFerguson. Then why did you ask us to join you here this evening? Looking squarely at Molina, the professor said grimly, I wanted to give you a chance to think about what you've done and consider its implications. Molina's brow wrinkled in puzzlement. I don't understand what you're talking about. All to the good, then, said McFerguson. If you're telling the truth, telling the truth. What the hell do you mean? Raising his hands almost defensively, McFerguson said, No, no. There's no sense losing your temper. Is somebody calling me a liar? Are any of those academic drones saying my evidence isn't valid? Tomorrow, McFerguson said. We'll thrash all this out tomorrow, when everyone's present. He gulped down the rest of his whiskey and got to his feet. Molina and his wife stood up, too. I don't understand any of this, Lara said. McFerguson realized she was just as tall as he was. Perhaps I shouldn't have met with you this evening. I merely wanted to give you a fair warning about what to expect tomorrow. Molina's face was red with anger. His wife clutched at his arm, and he choked back whatever he was going to say. I'll see you tomorrow at 10 in the conference room, McFerguson said, clearly embarrassed. Good evening. He hurried out of the lounge and ducked through the hatch into the ship's central passageway. Lara turned to her husband. At least he didn't have the effrontery to wish us pleasant dreams. Molina was too furious to smile at her attempted humor. Tribunal. Molina could see from the expressions on their faces that this was going to be bad. McFerguson sat at the head of the conference table, his team of scientists along its sides. What bothered Molina most was that Danvers and his two young acolytes were also present, seated together toward the end of the table. The only empty chair, waiting for Molina, was at the absolute foot of the table. They all looked up as Molina entered the conference room at precisely 10 o'clock. A few of them smiled at him, but it was perfunctory, pasted on, phony. Obviously, McFerguson had ordered them to come in earlier, most likely because he wanted to go over their testimony with them. Testimony. Molina grimaced at the word he had automatically used. This was going to be a trial, he knew. Like a court-martial. Like a kangaroo court. The conference room fell into complete silence as soon as he opened the door from the passageway and entered. In silence, Molina took his chair and slipped his data chip into the slot built into the faux mahogany table. "Dr. Molina," said McPherson, "I presume you know everyone here." Molina nodded. He had met most of the scientists and knew of their reputations. Danvers was an old friend, at least an old acquaintance. The two other ministers with him were non-entities, as far as Molina was concerned, but that didn't matter. The conference room was stark. The narrow table that lined one of its walls was bare. No refreshments, not even an urn of coffee or a pitcher of water. The wall screens were blank. The room felt uncomfortably warm, stuffy, but Molina was ice cold inside. "This is going to be a battle," he told himself. "They're all against me for some reason. Why? Jealousy? Disbelief? Refusal to accept the facts? It doesn't matter. I have the evidence. They can't take that away from me. I've already published my findings on the nets. Maybe that's it. Maybe they're pissed off because I didn't send my findings through the regular academic channels to be refereed before putting them out for all the world to see." McPherson ostentatiously pressed the keypad on the board built into the head of the table. "I hereby call this meeting to order. It is being recorded, as is the usual practice." Molina cleared his throat and spoke up. "I wish to submit my findings as proof that evidence of biological activity has been discovered on Mercury." McPherson nodded. "Your evidence is entered into the record of this meeting." "Good. Any comments?" A plump, grandmotherly woman with graying hair neatly pulled back off her roundish face spoke up. "I have a comment." "Dr. Paula Kantrowitz," said McPherson, for the benefit of the recording. "Geobiologist, Cornell University." "You're overdue for a regeneration treatment," Molina sneered silently at Dr. Kantrowitz. "And a month or two in an exercise center." She tapped at the keypad before her, and Molina's data sprang up on the wall screens on both sides of the room.
"The evidence that Dr. Molina has found is incontrovertible," she said. "It clearly shows a range of signatures that are indicative of biological activity."
Molina felt his entire body relax. "Maybe this isn't going to be so bad after all," he thought.
"There is no question that the rocks Dr. Molina tested bear high levels of biomarkers."
A few nods around the table.
"The question is," Kantrowitz went on, "did those rocks originate on Mercury?"
"What do you mean?" Molina snapped. Avoiding his suddenly angry eyes, Kantrowitz went on.
"When I tested the rock samples that Dr. Molina so kindly lent to us, I was bothered by the results I saw. They reminded me of something I had seen elsewhere."
"And what is that?" McPherson asked, like the straight man in a well-rehearsed routine. Kantrowitz touched another keypad, and a new set of data curves sprang up on the wall screens alongside Molina's data. They looked so similar, they were almost identical.
"The second data set is from Mars," she said. "Dr. Molina's rocks bear biomarkers that are indistinguishable from the Martian samples."
"What of it?" Molina challenged.
"So the earliest biological activity on Mercury produces signatures similar to the earliest biological activity on Mars. That in itself is an important discovery."
"It would be," Kantrowitz replied, still not looking at Molina,
"if your samples actually came from Mercury."
"Actually came from Mercury?" Molina was too stunned to be angry. "What do you mean?" Kantrowitz looked sad, as if disappointed with the behavior of a child.
"Once I realized the similarity to Martian rocks, I tested the morphology of Dr. Molina's samples."
The data sets on the walls winked off, replaced by a new set of curves.
"The upper curves, in red, are from well-established data on Martian rocks. The lower curves, in yellow, are from Dr. Molina's samples. As you can see, they are so parallel as to be virtually identical."
Molina stared at the wall screen. "No," he said to himself. Something is wrong here.